Keep going. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
Congratulations and good
luck. Nancy, I was hoping I could make you feel a little better here because I just sent a dear friend of mine who works over in the network side to my locker, and I gave him the combination to my locker. He probably can't read my writing. But I had some channeled music that I was going to play for you.
Oh, are you going to play that tonight?
In Optophonics, in fact, which would be kind of fun, but we will do that a little bit later. But don't feel strange about music coming to you from strange places. It happens all the time. I suspect, in fact, all good music writers, that's where it comes from.
Well, Beethoven, as our dear friend David Viscott says, used to write things down in first draft. I mean, he just got it all. Now, that didn't come from him. He was an instrument. He channeled that information.
How could he have written the magnificent Ninth Symphony, particularly the Ode to Joy, whenever he was totally deaf, if he wasn't channeling?
Do you feel channeling comes from spirits beyond, or does it come from the unconscious? The collective unconscious.
I believe that it is available to all of us. It is that universal self, that universal us, and that it is available. And the closer, the more we come from love and tell the truth in our life, the closer we become a clear channel for that type of energy, and the more we stand in the knowing. And Neptune is the planet of divine inspiration, and it is in contact with this Mercury influence and has been for a while, and that is channeling, and that's music, so you just take full advantage of it. Let me tell you something about this, too. When you say to me, well, this is going to, how long is this going to last? Quite frequently, when someone has been opened up by a transit such as this, the opening remains even when the planet moves away.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So good luck.
Okay, Nancy, you stand by.
I
will get that on. If we don't get it, we're not obviously going to have it in here right now. Don't read my writing. But we'll try to open up the next hour with a little bit of that.
Well, thank you, Bill, and thank you, Lee, so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Talk Radio 79. My guest, Lee Holloway.
Bill.
Hello, Beverly. You tell us what are the strange things going on at Avalon. Well, you're just going to fill us in. Well,
I will, but Bill, I must tell you how much we love you.
Well, thank you.
We love your mind. We love your courage. We love your guests. And it's so exciting just to talk to you. I've listened to you for years, and in fact, quite a few of us do here.
Well,
we don't call over because it's kind of hard to get in.
What's going on at Avalon?
Well, I'll tell you, it's paradise over here. If you've ever been over here, you know. If you haven't been over here, come on over, and we'll all welcome you at the boat
or the
plane. I must
tell you that Beverly's computer readout here says strange things going on in Avalon. So,
okay.
Beverly, we're all ears. What's
all right.
What are you people doing
well,
here?
Just before...
We suspected it all along.
Yeah. No, not that way. Well, I don't know. Anyway, talking about the energies that... hello, Lee. Lee was talking about the energies that are around all of us and do influence us. And we've had quite a few shakers over here, little earthquakes, which awaken us. But prior to each one of the earthquakes, different things have happened. We've had three different birds, parrot-type birds, expensive ones, very expensive ones, who have been very happy, lived in their homes for years, all of a sudden have, quote, flown their coop, and no one knows where they are yet. I mean, they're up in the trees. The deer have come almost down, well, like, I'm looking right out onto my little hill here, and the deer come right down here. The buffalo have been herding, which they don't usually herd close together near tents.
Well, send them back home to Hollywood.
Oh, no, they live here. This is their home.
Oh, buffalo. Oh, okay.
Yes, buffalo. And the goats, instead of wandering all over like they usually do, because this is their island also, they too have been herding. In other words, they've been staying all close together. And all of this was happening just prior to every one of the shakes that we've been having.
You know, there's a reason for that that I will touch upon, and I am sure that Lee has some other reasons to touch upon those things with you. But we're going to take a break right now.
Okay.
Have a cup of coffee. You stay on the line, if you will, now, Beverly, would you?
Yes, thank you.
We'll take a break for the news and be right back with Lee Holloway. Look at it. And our guest is Lee Holloway. And Lee is so much fun. You're going to enjoy her. And Lee, we were talking to Beverly, right?
No. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. I was thinking Avalon. When you said Beverly, I went, wait a minute. She was the one who was asking about Avalon.
Yeah, Beverly. We were asking about Avalon.
Yeah.
What are the strange things with the animals? Well, are you there, Bev? I have to punch it. Hello, Beverly.
Hi.
Yeah.
There she is.
Lee doesn't have the chart of the animals.
Did you call in to just tell us about that?
I did, and then I wanted to, you know, talk about other things. But it went along with your what you were saying about the energies.
Mm-hmm.
And the energies of the animals who live freely here among the tourists who venture up into the interior. But they seem to, the animals all seem to want to come closer to the humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it all happened during the time when the earthquakes occurred. And so the energies were strange, I would say. The animals were lovely, but it was just a little different than it usually is.
I have a suggestion for you, Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to stay tuned, because in about an hour and a half from now or so, Dr. Patrick Flanagan will join us, along with Lee Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, as you know, is a very advanced physicist.
Yes.
And there is a lot of body of evidence to believe that a lot of these things were happening because of a high input of what we would call on the show scalar waves.
Oh, definitely.
And scalar waves affect very small scalar interferometers, which are the minds of birds. Your mind, your left and right hemisphere of the mind, is a natural scalar interferometer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of the animals such as that.
Yes.
And they do react quickly to those things rather than we do. So we'll defer that question. You have another one for later.
Well, I'm so happy because I do live in paradise, but I do have my youngest son, who was born January 18th, 1967, is about to go over town to his second year of college. And I always worry when they go over town because there's no dangers over here on the island. And that world over there is so different. And could you tell me, is Jerry's year in college going to be just fine like it was last year?
Well, he's got some very nice protection from the influence from Jupiter. Jupiter is in Pisces and making a very good aspect to all those Capricorns out there. And his son is the last degrees of Capricorn. And since Jupiter relates to higher learning and wisdom and it's in good aspect to his son, I think it's going to be just a great time for him.
Oh, good. Will it be safe? That's amazing.
You don't have anything to worry about that. You go and give those poor little animals some consolation.
Oh, I will.
Just relax.
All right. Thank you very much, both of you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Beverly.
Bye-bye.
A little earlier, we promised Nancy that we would play some channeled music
for her.
And we'll not only do that, we'll play that in optophonics for you. So if you find your radio operating in a strange way, I want you to listen to this. It's called A Metaphysical Feeling. It was written by our own Lyle Gregory here on the stand.
Thank you.
So we don't want Nancy to feel bad. That came from a channel source. We presented it to you in a very unusual technical source called Optophonics. Our friends down in San Diego probably heard that at double the level they ordinarily do. It's a phenomenon that happens with Optophonics. And we want to thank our good friend Lyle Gregory, who helps me so much on the show. It's very important to us getting it together. Who wrote that? And hopefully you'll be able to see Lyle perform that. And in the not-too-distant future, we'll tell you all about that when that comes around. Okay, we have Barbara on the line. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Lee.
Hi, and Barbara.
Hi. I just wanted to know what general trends you saw in the areas of career and finance. And also, I had a general question. You were saying earlier how an astrological chart doesn't necessarily, it's not the end-all of everything, and you can't overcome it. But I was wondering, what kind of energy would it take to overcome a trend?
It's the energy, of course, everything in the world is always happening around us. We have crisis, we have good times, and who we are, the way that we come to what goes on in our life, makes all of the difference in how it affects us. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, uh-huh.
So the more awareness that you have about yourself, and astrology is a great field, very much like psychology. As a matter of fact, I use it in my practice on a psychological level to look at the makeup of an individual. And the more awareness you have about yourself, the greater clarity and the more control you have over your life. Because until something comes to the surface, until you're willing to face it, it is one of those things that drains your energy and your natural aliveness. We were meant to be free-flowing, open, spontaneous, and joyous. That's the natural state of life. And when you come in, sometimes I'm looking at your chart, if I may share with you a couple of things that I see in here.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at a chart that has Saturn squaring the Sun, which indicates a potential blockage of the natural ability, the natural joyousness. Life to you as a child, particularly, you may have had to take on additional responsibilities. Life is a very serious business. What happens when something like this, when Saturn moves to almost block out the natural exuberance and the life force of the Sun, there's a series of testing that one goes through before you begin to recognize and realize that life is not always meant to be hard. There are times that are hard, but you realize through testing that you have the equipment and the ability to meet whatever challenges come your way. And the older you get and the more you are aware about your early conditioning and the strong points and the fallacies that were there at the time of your birth and early years, the more awareness you have about that, the freer you are in the moment and in this time now so that you can reap good things for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
With regards to what's going on in your life right now, Barbara, I want to tell you that this particular year you've got Jupiter has just moved into a sextile to your Sun. I feel that the period of September is going to be very good for you, particularly September, October. I don't know if you've thought about taking on any type of new courses or new learning. The way that you relate to people will be more expansive, more open. Have you done any kind of counseling at all, Barbara, to help open you up?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Okay, so am I right in saying, can we say truthfully that there has been some sense of repression in the life force from early
definitely.
Circumstances?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for validating that for the listeners because
it's everything you said is really
I know that it's so, but I just take it for granted they do. I think they need to hear you say that. So as long as there's been some good work done in the area of opening you up, this Jupiter aspect can help to expand your creativity. And also, particularly since you've got an influence going on, even though it's not right over your Sun yet, the creativity, the creative levels, new artistic directions could be very good for you. I see a lot of artistic abilities, perhaps even in the areas of writing, I don't know what exactly it is that you do for a living, but I see the opportunity for you to expand into some new directions creatively, or to have enough confidence in yourself to begin some new endeavor. Perhaps, as I said, in the writing field, you've got a Mercury-Venus conjunction here, which indicates that you could be very good with words.
Hmm.
Okay?
That's always what I've wanted to do, isn't it?
It's always what you've wanted to
yeah,
do?
But I've always put it off.
No, let me tell you something about what you just said. I think you're wonderful, but I don't think that you're being truthful. Part of a Saturn squaring the Sun is always a great deal of self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And the creativity is not allowed to you until you face up to the fallacies of the early beginnings. So I want you to love yourself a little more. And I want you to forgive those who injured you at a very early age. They didn't mean to. And through that, you're going to be able to tap into this creativity. And it's not a matter of putting it off. It's a matter of feeling good enough about self to really do it and not to fear the risking. Do you hear the truth of my words?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Go get him, Capricorn.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
All right,
thank
Barbara,
you, Bill.
Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. 17 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me is the marvelous Lee Holloway. On Open Mind, on Talk Radio 79, or 8 minutes, along with Lee Holloway, who is on station right now with her charts in front of her, ready to go, and to talk to Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, good evening.
Hi,
haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, where have you been?
Not since Dr. Peoples.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what I was going to ask Lee about was the... I'm an Aries, Pisces, Virgo, Aries, you know, Aries...
Make up your mind.
Well, yeah. Aries Sun, you know, Pisces Moon, Virgo
rising. You just said
rising.
It all. What? Okay.
Let me throw this at you.
Sure.
You know, I listened to a lot of astrologers talk. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to really not say, well, that could describe me or my point of view or something like this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me posit this. Supposing astrologers really are working out of themselves, it's similar to a tarot cards, right? Such that however the cards fall, they're not really at random, if you know what I mean, to make a long story short. That one level, somebody knows, or some entity or consciousness itself knows where each card is.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay,
and
such that when you feel the planets in a certain position, it's still your point of view as to what's going on. I mean, you're using the planets as a deck of cards.
Well, let me tell you that when I spoke earlier and said that astrology is a science, Chuck, for instance, this lovely young lady that I spoke to earlier, and I spoke about Saturn squaring her Sun. Now, that's just an aspect, and you needn't be concerned about what that means.
Yes, but science says you can repeat that again and again.
Yeah, and if I sent you to a book store to buy a certain book by a wonderful astrologer who happens to also to be a psychologist, and you read the definition of what it was that she had written, not having ever seen this person, you would see that exactly what I said to her was the truth, it was accurate, it was valid. What happens when I do an individual chart delineation with an individual is quite frequently they are so blown away about the particular information, and sometimes when I have the privilege to do some people in my life that I know, I will bring and sit down several books on the subject so that I can pull out a specific aspect at random and let them read it to know that it's not coming just from my consciousness, that it is a science. I appreciate the fact that there is intuition, there is consciousness operating also, just as there is when a doctor does a diagnosis with a certain amount of information on a patient, or as when a psychologist begins to listen to an individual and understands the psychological makeup of the individual because of the things that they've learned at school, but also because of their interpretation of those things, their sensing of those things.
Yes,
so,
but 10 years ago, I bought a book that had a list of, say, Aries to the end, you know, Aries, Pisces,
yes.
Virgos, and all of them. And it stated all their professions and the things that they went into. This is like, take a sample. I don't know what the sample size was, but I assume it was pretty large. And none of it came up with what Aries did. They were something else, and it was totally, I was totally disinterested in those fields.
Well,
that Aries or whatever they fell into.
That you buy a book
I know. It's really not in the book
at all.
But
that's not just it. Well, you mentioned that you have, I believe you said, a Virgo rising and a Pisces moon. So astrology is a very interesting subject. It's one of those things that whenever I go to a dinner party, somebody says, the minute that they find out that I'm an astrologer, they want to know about them. And it's very fascinating in that way. However, I like to look at in-depth at the individual to see where all of the planets are, not just the sun signs.
Okay.
Because the moon represents the personality, a great deal of sensitivity in a personality. A person with a Pisces moon might find it very difficult to be in the competitive world that an Aries sun is involved in. A Virgo, especially with a Virgo rising, there's a good deal of influence there that would indicate some level of potential shyness and difficulty to get into some of the competitive, combative areas that Aries finds so comfortable. There are a lot of things. The science is as complicated as individuals are. And while I do recognize that there are people out there who are not writing good material, there are also that does not undo the truth of the science. And there are some wonderful people who are doing some great research who are really coming to this science with heavy credentials, both in the area of academia as well as in the area of their spiritual recognition that we are spiritual beings as well. And those are the types of people that you need to look at as far as the reality.
But I'm not delineated against that. When I say that the cards fell at random, then the ultimate knower knows exactly where those cards are. I mean, you can call it ultimate knower God or the energy or like the lady said before who was into channeling. She talked about collective unconscious or the collective consciousness. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Of course. And that operates through all of us, but that does not disallow the fact that there is scientific. We do have free will, and we also have scientific data showing that certain planets, through repeatable experiences, have shown that when certain planets move into certain positions and are in certain signs, this influences a life in this way, this way, this way, this way, and this way. Now,
I really can't dispute that because I can understand how math. At a distance, and even mass at a distance really isn't at a distance in the spiritual world.
No.
You see?
It's all energy.
And it's all present time.
Yes, it's all now. So I may not have been clear about your question, Chuck, but...
It was really this... it wasn't exactly a question. Well, you can see that I'm kind of pushy, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think you're pushy. I think
this
you're interested.
This is the place to be pushy, Chuck.
I think you're interested, and I love it. I think your questions or your statements are very valid. Astrology is, as I said earlier, both a science and an art, and there is a level of intuition that operates through it as well. You can't take the spirit out of man.
No.
And man operates when they're interchanging with each other. You're all there, and all of your faculties and all of your abilities come into play. But that doesn't invalidate the science itself.
Okay.
Well, Chuck, I have a treat for you, if you don't mind.
What's that?
It's 10:30. Well, and we're talking about...
I did have a question, but...
All right, well, let's hold the question, but let me bring another player in,
okay.
If I may. You're talking about science, and Lee is talking about science, and we have another guest. We're just going to dovetail in with Dr. Patrick Flanagan, who certainly knows his way around the astrological charts and around the pyramids and around energy.
I'd be willing to bet you that Patrick Flanagan wouldn't believe that he met me and Guy Costa back in the early 70s with his 6 microphone machine.
He has a...
remember you wearing a green shirt.
There you are, Chuck.
It was Tuesday.
No, he had
right?
this strange microphone way back. I don't know if he even remembers that, but that's very good. I like that.
You were wearing a green shirt.
I remember, Bill.
Hello, dear.
Hi, Bill.
And Patrick, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Bill.
And say hello to Chuck, who at one time was wearing a green shirt when you had a 6 microphone affair.
Right. That was my laser microphone invention.
That's the word.
You see, I told you he had a mind like a steel sieve.
Mr. Dukes or somebody he worked with?
Pardon?
Was it a guy named Duke or Mr. Duke or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Okay, that puts the kicker on it.
Well, I would have thought, Patrick, maybe you and Gail could add a little bit to the science of what Lee was saying there with Chuck, because he was asking a penetrating question.
Love the question, by the way, Chuck.
A fair question that a lot of people ask about astrologers, by the way.
Oh, it is, but astrology is more of an art than a science. It's the science part of it is the calculation and the mathematics involved. the various locations of planets. But interesting, going into science, a lady scientist by the name of Colesico did some experiments which were duplicated by Dr. Theodore Schwenk of Weleda Laboratories in England. And, you know, theoretically, I mean, a hard-nosed scientist would say, for example, biochemist or chemist would say that the distant planets are too far away to have any effect on physiological processes on Earth because their gravitational fields are so weak compared to the field of the Earth that, that they really shouldn't affect chemical reactions.
But those aren't the fields that affect us.
Right, but it's interesting because Colesico and Dr. Schwenk, who were both, you know, highly credentialed scientists, did this test where they dissolved different salts of minerals in water, and the different salts, of course, represent different planets, you know, like mercury and iron and, you know, different sulfur and so forth. And anyway, what happened is that they discovered that certain planetary conjunctions would change the crystallization of these salts in a repeatable pattern over and over again. In other words, they ran these experiments over a long period of time. They would crystallize on filter paper certain elements. And then, you know, a short time later, speaking of a couple of hours later, whatever, when a certain conjunction or a certain alignment was to occur, the pattern of crystallization would change dramatically. We're not talking about a slight change. We're talking about a dramatic change. And then after this conjunction had passed, then an hour or two later, there would be a different pattern, that is the original pattern that they had observed originally. And this was, you know, duplicated many times. And so it shows that, of course, that these planetary conjunctions do have effects, physical effects, on biochemical processes. And since the human body is, in fact, all living systems are colloidal systems made up of highly charged minerals, various planetary forces do indeed affect these things. So why is it so far-fetched to imagine that that these things could also lend to tendencies, life tendencies, because our thinking processes are dramatically affected chemically and by changes in chemical structure in the brain and so forth. So there is an actual possible basis to astrology, and it's a matter of interpretation, like Lee said earlier. Some astrologers are able to interpret much better than others. I mean, my chart's been done hundreds of times because I spent 10 years traveling and lecturing, and every single time somebody wanted to do our, you know, our chart. And out of all those people, very few really hit it on the nail, but I've run into at least one astrologer, one astrologer who so far has been about 98% accurate in predicting things that I'm talking about a year or 2 years in advance, which is really remarkable.
Does that help you out, Chuck?
Well, it sounds better, but it you know, it's still arbitrary.
No, it's not arbitrary. It's, like I said, that's how astrology becomes an art, because if we establish the idea that planetary position...
No, Pat, I appreciate the crystal measurements, but how did he make those measurements? Well, you can't take radio time to do that, but, I mean, it's that just sounds far out.
No, there's a book entitled The Secret of Metals. And The Secret of Metals, you can go to the Bodhi Tree there in Los Angeles. The Secret of Metals has photographs of these crystals, and they're dramatic. I mean, you can see this with the naked eye. It's not you know, a slight change in crystallization. We're talking about dramatic changes.
So that's the kind of thing we want to look at, Chuck, is that quite often, as we said at the very top of the show, there's been a lot of mysticism that has evolved around astrology, which has made it sort of a parlor game. But the ancients knew that there was something very real to it, and the physicists such as Patrick Flanagan and Tom Bearden and John Badini and some of the others that I have a great privilege to know.
I've been listening since 1980s as Bearden talked about his stuff.
All right, so you know that we're talking about some very advanced thinkers here who also say that the conjunction of the planets, their relative position, do have a great deal to do with our bioenergetics.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much, Chuck. I appreciate you jumping in there. And Pat Flanagan, welcome to Open Mind. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Gail and I are both very happy to be back with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you. We have a full board of questions for Lee. So what we want to do is kind of dovetail you both together here for a while. People are certainly interested in astrology, and they're interested in what you have to offer. We want to talk about the amazing work that you're doing with crystals and that new crystal and water of yours, which is fantastic, and whatever the other amazing life of Patrick Flanagan may be, which is always an eye-opener and a mind-opener whenever we get a chance to talk to you. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on Talk Radio 79 KABC.